This article, How Does the Bible Teach 6,000 Years? From creation.com, is a free MP3 audio resource produced by Stillwaters Revival Books. SWRB is online at puritandownloads.com. This article is copyrighted by Creation Ministries International, CMI, and is read by permission. The author of this article is Lita Kosner, and the reader is Bob Faulkner. Visit Creation Ministries International at creation.com for a massive collection of outstanding free online creationist resources, videos, articles, and so forth. At Stillwaters Revival Books, we also highly recommend CMI's professionally produced magazines, the Creation Magazine and the Journal of Creation. CMI speakers also visit churches all over the United States and the world to communicate the importance of the creation issue and the overall authority of Scripture at a lay level. And CMI does not charge a set speaking fee. If you're interested in having a CMI speaker at your church, please visit the Contact Us page on creation.com for details of your local office. We at Stillwaters Revival Books also make thousands of free Christian resources available online at puritandownloads.com. At puritandownloads.com, you will also find our complete online catalog containing classic and contemporary Christian books, digital downloads, MP3s, videos, books, and the Puritan hard drive, all at great discounts. And now to SWRB's reading of How Does the Bible Teach 6,000 Years by Lita Kosner. Remembering that God teaches us in the Bible that the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Romans 1:20 from the KJV. How does the Bible teach 6,000 years? The Bible's history gives us the answer to the age of the earth. Many people write in and ask, how do we know that the earth is 6,000 years old from the Bible? Given that the genealogies where the age of the father at the time of the son's birth is given in an unbroken chain, that they end shortly after Noah, how do we get from 1600 Anno Mundi, the year of the world, to today, which we would argue is about 6,000 Anno Mundi? How precisely can we know the earth's age? The precision by which we can know the timing of historical events or ages of things is constrained by the precision of the data that we're given. The timing we're given in the chronogenealogies is accurate to within 1 year of the event. By this, I mean we can know that Adam was 130 years old when he fathered Seth, but we don't know if he was 130 and 3 months or just shy of 131, for example. This is true for all the ages. And so when you add up the chronogenealogies, we know that the flood happened in 1656, plus up to less than 10 years, because we have 10 numbers that have less than a year of uncertainty. If all of the numbers were recorded just shy of the next birthday, for instance, Adam was 130 and 11 months when he fathered Seth, and Seth was 105 and 11 months when he fathered Enosh, and so on, the flood could have been as late as 1665. But clearly, this sort of small-scale uncertainty won't give any comfort to people who want to add thousands of years to human history. The flood to the patriarchs. There is an unbroken chronogenealogy from Shem to Abraham in Genesis 11. We're given the information elsewhere in Genesis to extend the chronology until the relocation of Israel to Egypt when Jacob was 130 years old. Going by these numbers, Jacob went to Egypt in 642 plus, less than 12 years after the flood, or 2298 plus, less than 22 years a.m. on a Monday. The chronogenealogy ends here, with nearly 2,000 years to go until Christ. How do we extend the timeline? In Exodus 12:40, going from the patriarchs to the Exodus, it says that Israel was in Egypt for 430 years. This harmonizes well with Genesis 15:13,
where God tells Abram that his descendants will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. Enslavement did not happen on their arrival in Egypt, but sometime after Joseph died, when their number became threatening. So the Exodus happened in 27:28 plus less than 23 years A.M.
The Exodus to the Kings. We know that Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years, meaning that they entered the Promised Land in 2768 plus less than 24 years A.M. But here the chronology becomes a bit hazier for a while. This is because we don't know exactly how long the conquest took or exactly how long it was before the judges started ruling Israel. We're told how long each judge ruled and how long each period of peace lasted. But some of these clearly overlap, and some judges clearly only ruled part of Israel while another judge was ruling another part. But we have a clear statement in 1 Kings that allows us to continue a reliable chronology. 1 Kings 6:1 says, "In the 480th year after the Israelites had come out of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, the second month, he began to build the temple of the Lord." So, if we subtract 124 years, 40 each for the wandering in the desert, Saul's reign, and David's reign, and 4 for the partial reign of Solomon, we get a period of about 356 years for the judges, which fits well with the numbers in Judges if we assume a few overlaps. So Solomon began to build the temple in 3208 plus less than 23 years A.M. Notice that even though we're thousands of years into history at this point, the uncertainty about the dates is less than 25 years. Then the kings to the exile. If we go by the reigns of the kings of Judah without assuming any co-regencies, from the temple to the exile of Judah would have been 429.5 years, plus less than 21 years. But we know that there were co-regencies in Judah, partly by comparing the kings of Judah to the kings of Israel. If we do that, we know that from the temple to the exile of Judah is actually around 345 years, at around 3553 AM. At this point, it's possible to say what the date would be in our terms. And when one adjusts for the differences in calendrical systems, the vast majority consensus is 586 BC. This would mean that 1 AD would be around 4150 AM, plus or minus less than 50 years. And today we would be around 6150 AM, plus or minus less than 50 years. The Bible is history. It's clear from the very first verse of Genesis, the Bible is concerned with giving a factual account of how God has interacted with the earth. This means that it must give historically accurate details, as well as being theologically accurate. In fact, what we believe about God is based on historical claims. So if the history is inaccurate, then the theology must be as well. One of the ways the biblical authors communicated that they were giving actual history is by recording lifespans or measuring the amount of time between certain events. We can be confident that God's word is accurate in its historical details as well as in what it tells us about theology. What about different dates for creation? Many people have come up with dates for creation, such as James Usher, 4004 B.C., Johannes Kepler, 3992 B.C., Gerhard Hasse, 4178 B.C., and Isaac Newton, around 4000 B.C. Additionally, there are various chronologies competing with each other today, though all with the same ballpark outcome, which would be more precise than this article, but also rely on assumptions that must come from a particular interpretation of the text. It's not the purpose of this article to choose any particular one of these chronologies, but rather to show how the plain interpretation of Scripture gives a straightforward chronology that leads us to believe the world is around 6,000 years old, regardless of which of these other chronological frameworks one uses.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.